Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Mem Ches. We left off on daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. We are about to begin Perek Bametomnin, in the fourth Perek of Maseches Shabbos. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by my wife and myself in Lezecher Nishmas, my wife's grandfather, Zadie Sender, who passed away yesterday from the coronavirus, his Neshama Shav and Aliyah, and also by my parents, Lezecher Nishmas, my grandmother, whose yard site is today, and certainly the Zechus of our learning should be in Aliyah for both of their Neshamos, as it always is a great credit to them, and they are the reasons that that in our family we're even here to be able to learn, and certainly that we have the desire to be Oved as Hashem, to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we are we're holding at the very beginning of the fourth parak of the Masechta, and we're going to discuss issues relating to Atmana. The Mishnah is going to discuss which items are Mosif Hevel and which are not, and we're going to compare the byproducts of Zesim with the byproducts of Shumshamin with each other, the byproducts of olives and the byproducts of sesame, which are Mosif Hevel and which are not. The Gemara is going to then quote a story where there were two questionable actions that were taken in the house of the Reish Galusa, and the Gemara is going to explain the issues involved, and we'll have to figure out what the connection necessarily is to our discussion. The Gemara is then going to discuss Mochin, which is one of these things that are Mosif Hevel, one of these items that you're not allowed to do Atmanu with, but the Gemara is going to discuss its Muktzah status, the Muktzah status of Mochin after it's used for Hatmana. If you already used it for Hatmana, so do we assume now it's no longer Muktzah, or do we assume because you're using it for things other than what it was meant to be used for? It's this very fancy, expensive type of wool, or do we assume that no, you're still going to designate it for its original use? It was just a stopgap measure to use it for Hatmana because you couldn't find something else. The Gemara is then going to discuss whether there's an Isser of stuffing a pillow. If you put the cushioning, the stuffing, into a pillow, is that Asr on Shabbos and Yom Tov? And that's going to lead us into a discussion about opening up a neck hole in a garment. That if you buy a garment, it used to be that it would come without a neck hole and you'd have to cut out the hole yourself. So is that something that's Mutar Asr to do on Shabbos? Is Daraisis? Rabban will have to discuss. And then the Gemara is going to, once we're talking about things that are connected to each other and detaching them from each other, which, by the way, this is the basis of much of the sugya of opening bottle caps on Shabbos. The Gemara is then going to talk about other issues relating to Chibur, and the majority of Amud Beis is really about Chibur when it comes to Tumah. If two items are connected to each other, do we consider them to be the same item when it comes to Tumah and Tahara? That in that, if one of them becomes Tameh, they both become Tameh, and if one of them becomes Tahar, they both become Tahar. So that's going to take up the majority of Amud Beis. So as an introduction to this Perek, to Perek Bamet Omnin, as the name suggests, we are now going to be discussing the Isra of Hatmana. In Isra Drabanan, they are not allowed to insulate things, but there are really two Isurim of Hatmana. One is that even on Erev Shabbos, a person is not allowed to insulate a pot of food with a Dover HaMosif Hevel, with something that's going to increase the heat level of the pot, and the reason is that the Chachamim were concerned that you might come to be matmin beremetz, you might come to do hatmana with hot coals, and when you see after Shabbos begins that the coals are dying down a little bit, you might come to then stoke those coals, and you're going to be in violation of havara and bishul by doing that. So that's one type of hatmana that's aser. The Chacham also aser doing hatmana of a fully cooked food on Shabbos itself with anything, even if it's Eino Mosif Hevel. And the reason for that is that they were concerned that you're going to come to, when you come to insulate your pot, you're going to see that it cooled down already more than you thought it had, and therefore you might be you might be enticed to want to heat it up again, and then you'll be in violation of Bishul or Havara Bishabbos. So that's the those are the two isurim of hatmana. There is a machlokas rishonim whether hatmana is only when you're matmin the kedera entirely, or even if you're only matmin it partially. There are some rishonim, the shita satosos and the Mordechai, is that the isur of hatmana is only if you you cover it on all four sides with that which you are being matmin it with. Yet other rishonim suggest that even if you put the kedera on top of gechalim, even though the sides of the kedera, the top of the kedera, are not touching the gechalim, that's also included in the isra of hatmana. The Shulchan Aruch paskins in Siman Reish Nun Gimel Sif Aleph, Shulchan Aruch paskins lahachmir. Ktos Hashulchan points out though that if you put it on a blech that's put on a fire, everyone's going to say that that's not called hatmana, because the whole machlokas is only when it's you put it on something that it could sort of dip into, that it could sort of be engulfed by. But if you have a flat sheet of metal, it can never be engulfed by that flat sheet of metal, right? It's it could only ever hit the bottom. And anyway, the Shulchan Aruch is machmir in this machlokas rishonim, the Rama is mekil in this machlokas rishonim. The Rama holds that it's only a violation of hatmana if it covers it from all sides. So for Ashkenazi Jews, we're a little bit more mekil on this issue of hatmana. So anyway, let's begin the perek. B'meh tomnu, b'meh ein tomnu. What can you insulate your pots with? And on erev Shabbos, the Mishnah is talking about. And what can you not insulate your pots with on erev Shabbos? Say ein tomnu lo begefes, lo bezevel, lo bemelach. You're not allowed to do hatmana with the byproduct of the olive press, nor with the zevel of animals, with the byproduct of animals, the tzoa of animals, nor with melech, with salt. Prima Gadim writes that in this context, salt could mean whether it's mined salt or whether it's salt that's gotten from the ocean, from salt water. Either way, it's something that's considered to be mosif hevel, as opposed to what we had in the last parak when we discussed salt. We discussed salt status as a chumre abishal or a kale abishal. Is it more easily cooked? Is it more milcha require bishula kibisra detura? Is it one of the chumre abishal? So that may not relate to salt that was gotten from the water. That may only relate to mined salt. But over here, the Prima Gadim says any kind of salt would be considered a davar mosif hevel. Velo besid, not with plaster. Velo bechol, not with sand. All of these things are considered to be mosif hevel. Now, sand is a little bit different than the rest, because sand, the Rishonim point out, the Ritva and the Ran, based on the Gemara and the Sechba Basra, sand is only mosif hevel to something that's already warm. If you have something that's cold, sand is considered to be something that is mosif tzonin. It actually cools off. It's like a thermos. So it's only considered to be mosif hevel for that which is already warm, as opposed to the other items on the list are mosif hevel for everything. But bottom line is, you're only doing hatmana, obviously, on something that's warm. So sand gets to be listed together with everything else. And bein lach and bein yivashin, all these items are mosif hevel whether they are moist or dry. V'lo b'teven, v'lo b'zagin, v'lo b'mochin, v'lo b'asavin, b'zman shein lachin. But then there's a second group of items that are only considered to be mosif hevel if they are if they're moist. When it comes to straw, when it comes to the byproduct of a wine press, when it comes to mochin, which are soft pieces of wool that are unprocessed and are usually used for felt, when it comes to asavin, when it comes to grass, all of those things are only mosif hevel when they are moist, but not when they are dry. Avol tom ben k'shein yevashin, you're allowed to do hatmana with them when they are dry. So now says the Gemara, Ibayiluhu, when we listed gefes as one of the items that are mosif hevel, gefes shel zesim tanan, avol deshum shmin shapir dami, do we mean dafka the gefes of olives, but which are very, very hot? But if it were the gefes of sesame seeds, which are not quite as hot, then it would not be considered a davar mosif hevel, and you can do hatmana with it? O dilma deshum shmin tanan, v'kol shkein dezesim. Or maybe we're saying even deshum shmin, even if it's made out of sesame seeds, the byproduct of sesame seeds, even that's enough hevel to be considered mosif hevel, and certainly if it's from zesim, it would be a problem. So says Gemara Tashma, let's bring a raya. He said in the name of one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yanai's yeshiva that kupa shataman ba, That if you have a box and inside that box you did hatmana of a kedera, meaning you have a box, you filled it with stuffing, and then you put a hot pot of food inside the stuffing that's in that box. And then you took that box, the box, and you put it on top of a gefes shel zeisim. You put it on top of this hot byproduct of olives. So the mochen themselves that you have around the box, that's not actually mosif hevel. But nevertheless, since the kedera is placed on the gefes and the gefes is mosif hevel, so then it's considered as if you've done hatmana bedavra mosif hevel. But shema mina shel zeisim tanan. But you see, it's only gefes shel zeisim that it identifies. That's going to be mosif hevel when you put that box on top of gefes shel zeisim. So says Gemara, no, that's not a raya. The old meimelach leading hatmana d'shem shrinami yaser. That's not a classic case of hatmana. If you're insulating with the item itself, then yeah, even the shumshimin is going to be mosif hevel. But the inyan suke havla. But when it comes to adding heat to something that it's not actually wrapped around, it's just that the box that the pot is in is sitting on top of this. So then we're going to say dezeisim maski havla, the shumshimin lo maski havla, that the olive byproducts are gonna add heat to a box that contains a pot that is insulated on top of it. But the sesame byproducts are not going to accomplish that same thing. The Meiri says, Dafka gefes shel shumshimin is mutter to put the box on top of, meaning the Gemara makes this contrast between shumshimin and zeisim. What about everything else? What about items that are mosif hevel that are somewhere in between? So everything else that's mosif hevel, says the Meiri, is going to be us. It's going to have a din of gefes shel zeisim. So that's obviously that's questionable. Prima Gadim disagrees. Prima Gadim says no. The Gemara is dafka saying there's a particular chumra of zeisim, and that's the whole diuk that we're bringing. That's all raya that we're bringing is that we dafka pointed out shel zeisim in the brisa that we quoted in the story from the Chadvei Rabbi Yanai, from the Talmud, from the Beis Medrash Rabbi Yanai, that he dafka identified zeisim. But what does emerge from this Gemara is that for something to be considered davra mosif hevel, it does not mean that the davra matmin, that the thing that actually wraps around it, is mosif hevel. It just means that there is something being mosif hevel and hatmana happening simultaneously. So if, let's say, you wrap a pot of food in a towel, it's already a fully cooked pot of food, and you wrap it in a towel, and then you put it on the blech, so that is called mosif hevel, because the fire from under the blech is being mosif hevel, and you have hatmana going on, and it's wrapped around. That's what we discussed. That's why there was a problem with those covers for the urns. You set it up before Shabbos, but they used to make these covers that fit perfectly around your urn, and you'd zip it up, and it would fit on all four sides perfectly around it. But that's called hatmana b'davar mosif hevel. You're not even allowed to do that on Erev Shabbos, because the coils inside the urn are being mosif hevel as you've done the hatmana. So that is the... That is the halacha based on this sugya. So now the Gemara discusses a story as far as placing something on something that is hot on Shabbos. Rabbi Zeira iklu beReish Galusa. Two episodes that happened when Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira visited the Reish Galusa. Number one was Chaziolu Avda da Anach Kuzah de Maya Apuma de Kumkuma. They saw one of the avadim of the Reish Galusa put a kli that had cold water in it on top of a pot of hot water in order to heat up the cold water. So Nazhe Rabba got very upset to see that such a thing was going on in the house of the Reish Galusa. Some of the Rishonim say that we're talking about he put it on a mecham, on a pot of hot water that was no longer on the fire, whereas other Rishonim assume that it was still on the fire. Beis Yosef quotes both of those days. But Tosfos points out that we must be talking in the case over here where if you would leave it on the fire, where if you would leave it on the fire, it would get to a point of Yad Saledespo, because that would be an Isser Bishul. So even though the Eved didn't intend to do that, he only intended to leave it there for a short time and take it off before it gets to the Yad Saledespo point, but this is why it's so objectionable. He's really, excuse the pun, he's playing with fire over here, because if he if it gets to the Yad Saledespo, he's then violated an Isser of Bishul. So I'm the Rabbi Zeira, Maishna Mimecham Al Gabimecha.
Rambam. So Rabbi Zeira said, well, why is this so bad? Why is it any different than one pot on top of another pot, which in generally, Kedera al Gabi Kedera is one of the kosher ways you can warm something up on Shabbos. Amalei, Hasamukmi Kamokim, Hacholudi Kamolid. No, when does Kedera al Gabi Kedera work? That's talking about something that was not that was already cooked, and you just want to rewarm something that was already cooked. So then you do a Kedera al Gabi Kedera. But if it's something that you're just creating the heat in the first place, so there's new heat being added to this cold water, so that's going to be a real problem, because then you could run afoul of the actual Isser of Bishel. So that was one episode that they saw. Hadr Chazia, then Rabba saw that the Eved, the Paras distoda rapume dukuva, he put a cloth over a jug of liquid, va'anach natli ilavei, and he put on top of the cloth the kli that they would use to, like the ladle that they would use to scoop out from inside that kli. So Nazhe Rabba, Rabba got very upset about that, meaning he had an open soup pot, he put a cloth like a towel over the open soup pot, and then he put the ladle on top of the towel. So Amar Leih Rabbi Zeira, what's the big deal? What did he do? There's no bishul in that. So I'm like, hashta chazis, you'll see exactly why I have a, chachamein of barosha. You have to see where this is going to lead. So you'll see in a moment why I have such problems with this. L'sof chazi yod dekomitzar lei. And then he saw that attack caused problems because the fellow didn't realize that by putting something on top of the towel ended up getting wet from the ladle that he put on top of the towel. And therefore, he wanted to squeeze out the towel from what it got wet with. And he understood that's why he got angry in the first place, because this was going to run into a problem of schita. And the Ritva points out, schita b'shabbos yuchayv chatas, it's considered a toda of the malacha of melabin. Melabin involves cleaning something, laundering something, so you're going to use water to wet the clothing that you're laundering, and then you squeeze out the water from the clothing, and hopefully some of the dirt comes out with it, and that's how laundering works. So schita is also told mishum melabin. So that's why you have to assume that we're talking about not soup but mayim, because when it comes to schita mishum melabin, schita is only also mishum melabin if it's mayim, because anything else it wouldn't make sense. It's not melabin the begin at all. If you squeeze out some wine or some soup or something like that from a towel, the towel still needs to go in the wash. The towel's not yet clean. So from a melabin perspective, schita is only usher with mayim. This is what Tosfos writes in the beginning of Masechus Ksuvos as well. There is another reason that schita might be usher, and that's mishum mefarek, a tolda of dash, that extracting something from inside something else is also schita, but that's limited to cases where that which you extract is going to be useful to you. If that which you extract is not useful to you, then it's not really like dash. Then it's not really going to be mefarik, which is a tolda of dash. That's what the poskim discuss when it comes to squeezing out liquid from a toothpaste. From a toothbrush, rather, on Shabbos. Which kind of schita is that? Is that any kind of schita? So Rav Moshe was very machmir about that. Rav Moshe thought that was a violation of schita, but in Eretz Yisrael, they always had the practice. They were, for years and decades already, they always sold this liquid Shabbos toothpaste. How does it help? According to Rav Moshe, it's an issur of schita. So where does the liquid Shabbos toothpaste help? Because Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Sri Deish held that it's not a problem of schita. And the Svara essentially goes something like this, that if you're going to say mishum melabein, well, it's not really water, so it's not really being melabein the brush when you squeeze out the toothpaste. And if you're going to say mishum dash, that's only if it produces a useful product that you're squeezing out. But whatever you're squeezing out goes right on your teeth and then becomes gross and no one would ever want to use it again. So it's halach li'ibud immediately, and therefore it's not a violation of schita mishum dash. But anyway, in this story, this fellow was running afoul of a risk of schita, at least. So Amaleis, Rabbi Zeira said to Rabbi, Maishna, why should this be any different? Mi pronka, from a certain type of cloth that they used to put over a certain kelim on Shabbos, and they were never choshesh that it was going to get wet and that it would come to an iser of schita. And that's mutter. So the Rishonim point out already, who said that's mutter? Where, is there a brisa? Is there a mishnah? Is there some sort of information we're missing over here? So Tosfos says that Rabbi Zeira was asking Rabbi, based on the Gemara that we're having Koflam and Tosfos and Beis, that Rabbi was matir such an activity, but it's not evident in the Gemara where we know that that's mutter from that we're just assuming that it's mutter. So Amalei hasam lo kapidi lave, hacha kapidi lave. So Rabba answered back to Rabbi Zeira, by the parvanka, he's not mak makbir on the beged if it gets soaked, because it's always placed on top of a kli, and it always gets wet, and therefore there's no concern that it's going to be yavo lidei schita. There's no concern that he's going to come to be sochet, because why he knows that's the nature of this beged, is that it always gets wet. But over here, there was what was used to cover the pot was a scarf, it was a kerchief, it was something that's used as a beged that people wear, and they don't want it to get wet. And that's why he was more concerned that it was going to be Yavali de Schita, that it was going to lead to a Schita problem. In the Chidush Eran, he quotes Rabbeinu Tam that the idea of being Matir, putting a beged on a gigas, is only if it's Malaya Yayin. That's where we're not concerned that it's going to be Yavali de Schita, because it's not going to be Mesakin, it's not going to be Malabin, it's not going to clean it out. But when it's Malaya Mayim, that's where it's going to be a problem. When it could become wet from water, that's where it's going to be a problem. So that sounds very similar to what we pointed out from Tosfos and Maseches Ksubos before, that Schita Mishum Malabin only applies to water, doesn't apply to Yayin. But the Achronim point out that the Chidush Eran is actually a little bit different than Tosfos. He's a little more machmir than Tosfos. Tosfos says that when it comes to Yayin, there is no Schita. What the Chidush Eran is saying over here is that if you get a beged wet with Yayin, we're not concerned that Yavo Lidei Schita, that you might come to do Schita, but because it's not going to benefit you that much. But the mashmos is, you still can't do it. We're just not going to be gozer not to get this beged wet with the yayin, lest you come to do schita. So a little bit different than what Tosa says in Maseches Ksuvos. Further in the Gemara, v'lo b'tevin, the Mishnah had said, you're not allowed to use straw as an insulating agent. So b'yimei ravad de bar masna me abaye. Mochin shetam ben mal l'taltalon b'shabbos. Mochin is a very expensive kind of wool, of unprocessed wool, that they would usually make felt out of, and it was not something that they would use for hatmana typically, it was or for anything else other than what its intended use, because it was very expensive. What if you've all, so normally it would be muksamach maschas from kiss, because you would never use it for anything else. What if you've already used it for hatmana? Does that now indicate that it's no longer singled out as for that one usage, and now it's just something that you would use for something else as well, and therefore loses its muksa status? Some Leah Abaye said to Rav Adi Bar Masna, "V'chim epnei she'ein lo kupa shel teven, omid umafkir kupa shel mochin." You know how expensive this stuff is? He used it for the moment, but just because he couldn't find any straw right now, you think he's going to replace straw with expensive materials? That would be ridiculous. He would never do such a thing. And therefore, by mochin, we have to assume that it remains muktzah. Leim misayeh. Leim will bring a raya from Brisa. The Brisa tells us, Tomnin begizei tzemer, uvetzipei tzemer, uvelashonu shal argaman, uvimochin, ve'ein metaltelin osan. That even if you did atmana with all of these products, with wool shearings, and with tzemer that's already menupats, and is already spread out like a mat, and with pieces of dyed wool, of dyed purple wool, and with mochin, it's still a metaltal man. You're not allowed to be metaltal. It's still muksa. So it says, well, that's not a raya. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying that if you've already used it for atmana, that it's still muksa. It's saying two different statements. Imishum ha lo irya. Hachi kamar. Here's what that Bryce is actually saying. Im lo taman ben ein metaltal no sense. Tell me two halachos. You're not allowed to use mochin for atmana on Shabbos or in Erev Shabbos because it's most of Hevel. And in general, another thing you should know about mochin is in metaltan osan. It happens to be a muktza item, typically. But those are two separate statements. If you've already used it for hatmana, then maybe it's no longer a muktza item. So ihachi mai lemeima, then what's the great chiddush over here? Of course it's a muktza item. It's something that's very expensive. You never use it for anything else. So mal detei mechazi lemazga alayu. I might think that you might use it for something else. You might use it to as a mat to sit on, to lean on. So kamash malon. That's what the Bryce is telling us. Then no, it's not made for that purpose, and therefore it's considered to be muktza. Rav Chista shor laduri udra lebeisadya b'shabata. Rav Chista allowed putting stuffing back into a pillow on Shabbos. So they challenged Rav Chista matirin beisat savar b'shabbos. The Brisa tells us that when the cleaners, the launderers, would get your garment, what they would do is they would tie shut the neck of the garment. The neck hole was already made, but they would just tie it shut, and that was their way of indicating to you that that no one's been using it, because I guess that was a concern, that when you'd give your suit to the cleaners, that they'd wear it. So they would tie it, I guess, in front of you, and then you'd get it back tied, and that way you knew that that no one was using it. So you're allowed to untie that tie on Shabbos. Avalo poskin, but you're not allowed to make a new neck hole on Shabbos, because that's a malach of makah bepatish. They used to buy garments that did not have all the holes that were necessary, so you're not allowed to create the neck hole on Shabbos. That's a violation of makah bepatish. Ve'ein nosnin es hamochin, but here's the reason we're quoting this price for this line. Ve'ein nosnin es hamochin lo l'toch hakar ve'lo l'toch hakesas b'yom tov ve'ein tzorach lam b'shabbos. And you're not allowed to put stuffing in a pillow on Shabbos or Yantif. So how could you, Rav Chista, say that you're allowed to stuff a pillow on Shabbos? Here it says beferish, you're not allowed to stuff a pillow on Shabbos or Yantif. Says Mar lo kasha. No, there's a difference. If it's a brand new pillow, it's never been stuffed before, so you are now making the pillow, that's going to be also, that's going to be makah bepatish. But if it's a pillow that's already been stuffed and some of the stuffing came out and now you're putting the stuffing right back in, that's not makah bepatish. It already was a kli, it already was a pillow before, and therefore that's not going to be a violation. Tanya nami achi, we have a brisa that says just like this. No Nashru, but if they came out, if the stuffing came out, then then you're allowed to put it back in, both on Shabbos and Yantif. You're just not allowed to put the original, stuffing in the pillow on Shabbos and Yantif. Now, once we mentioned this idea of being, it was totally parenthetical, but once we mentioned this idea of being poseach beis hatzavar, of opening up a neck hole in a garment, so the Gemara says, let's revisit that issue a little bit. If you have a garment that you bought that does not yet have a neck hole. Amar Rav Yehuda Rav, HaPosech Beis Hatzavar B'Shabbos, Chayv Chatos. Person is Chayv Chatos for that, meaning it's Malacha D'Oraisa, it's Makah Bepatish, you have now made the Beged. That's how Rashi understands. The Rambam in the 10th paragraph of Hilchos Shabbos does not seem to understand that way, that it's a Chiyuv of Makah Bepatish. The Rambam seems to associate this with the Malacha of Korea, which is a Chiddush. It's not a chiddush that tearing up in a neck hole sounds like the word korea. It sounds like tearing, but to violate the melacha d'oraisa of korea, it has to be korea al menas litvar, that a person has to be tearing in a way that so that he can then sew it up. Well, when you buy a new garment and you make a neck hole in the garment, you're korea, but it's not al menas litvar. It's not with the intention of then sewing it up. So why? How could the Rambam possibly say that this? How could the Gemara say chayiv chatos? And the Rambam understand that it relates to korea. So the explanation seems to be that korea al menas litvar is not that it has to be necessarily al menas litvar. The point is that korea cannot be done b'derech hamakalkel. It can't be done in a destructive way. So normally, if you're tearing something that's destructive, unless you're tearing it in a way so that it will be able to be sewn back in a better way than it was before. But over here, the tearing itself is productive. It's not destructive. You're making a neck hole. You can't wear the garment without a neck hole. People have heads, so you have to. The only way to use the garment is to make the neck hole. So that's why it's not mekalkel. So that's why you're chayiv chatos according to the Rambam. So anyway, so the Gemara says, so you're not allowed to make the neck hole. So mask of Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, well, ma bein zulim magufas chavis. Why should this be any different than a seal of a barrel, which apparently we say you're allowed to open up on Shabbos? So Rava says, Rav Kahana, the place where the neck is totally attached, so when you open it, you're being mesaken and you're making it now into a useful kli. Whereas the magufa sachavis is not part of the chavis. The covering of the barrel is not a piece of the barrel. It's a separate piece that's attached to the barrel, and you're just detaching it, but it's already been a kli. You're not making it into a usable kli when you detach it from the barrel. So this is a major discussion in the poskim. That line, that exchange of what the difference is between the clothing and the neck hole and the magufa sachavis is the basis for all the discussion we have in poskim, for much of the discussion we have in poskim about opening up bottles on Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a discussion about the wine bottles or grape juice bottles. I guess the only ones that you see anymore that still have this kind of covering are these sparkling grape
grape juice. You know, those metal twist-off covers that, you know, don't really fit properly on the bottle. Like when you pull it off, like you feel it breaking in your hands because it was it's just sort of like with heat, it's just sort of pressed on to the bottle. So and Rosh Hashanah talks about that and beer bottle covers. You know, where you need a special opener, unless you want to cut your fingers out, you need a special opener to get it open by widening the opening of the beer. So are those problems? So Shlomo Zalman he writes a number of tshuvas on this, but it's summarized in Shulchan Shlomo and Simon Shin Yudalid, where he says that there's a difference between a plastic bottle cover and a metal bottle cover. He says the metal the ones that you find in the sparkling grape juice, he thinks that's usser because it's not a usable cap as is. When you open it, it now becomes a usable cap, but it was not a usable cap prior to that. So it was not like a Magufa Sachavis, which was an independent kli prior to that. And if you were to, let's say, break the bottle from underneath the cap, so the cap is not manipulated in any way, it's not stretched, it's not... That cap won't fit on any other bottle. It won't even fit on this bottle if you break the bottle. It's only when you open it that you're expanding it and breaking it that it becomes useful. And that's where Shlomo Zalman thinks that's a problem. But when it comes to plastic, he thinks there's no issur because the plastic, the way they make the plastic bottle caps is that they have grooves that fit perfectly around the top of the bottle that slide into it as you twist. And therefore, it was a kli before, it's a kli after. That's much more similar, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, to the Magufas HaChavis. There is a whole other approach in Rishonim over here in how to learn the sugya, not like Rashi. There's a sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, Ramban, and Ritva who have an entirely different understanding of the Psichas Beis HaTzavar and why it's different from the opening of the of the Magufas HaChavis. We don't have time to get into it right now, but just suffice it to say, Rav Shlomo Zalman has a way of saying that interpretation of the Gemara also fits this psak, meaning, or better, this psak fits those shitos in Rishonim as well. That the plastic bottle caps one may open. There are poskim that are machmir about the plastic bottle caps also, because it also rips off a ring. I happen to have one here. It also rips off a ring at the bottom. I don't know if you could see, but right by this ring stays. You know what one looks like, probably. You don't need me to show you. But it also rips off a ring at the bottom. So one might argue that that's also considered to be making Mariv Rabbi Rav Shechter is machmir about that. We have to remember when we had Shai and Rina Shechter over for Yantif meal once. We had to make sure to open all of our bottles before they came. So I mean before Yantif. So that's a sheet by many poskim as well. Okay. So says the Gemara. Rami le Rabbi Yirmiyah le Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the following student to Rabbi Zeira. Now we're going to just, once we're talking about things that are connected to each other, we're going to talk about Chibur Lutuma. Tana, and it says in the Mishnah Meseches Para, Shalol Shel Kovsin. If you have begadim that the launderers would tie together, they would sew them together, not with like a major stitching, but as a way of not losing socks, right? Like so in camp you had a sock bag. So what they would do is they would make a very quick stitch between all the different socks, so that it became a big unit, so that you didn't end up losing half of your clothing. V'shalshalah shel maftechos, or you have a keychain. V'abeget shu tafur b'klayim, or if you have two pieces of beget of wool that are sewn together with a strand of pishtan. So it's not a chibur kavua; it's not meant to stay that way. But chibur l'tuma, they're still considered connected enough with regard to tuma, and therefore, if one of those items becomes tamei, they all become tamei, achi yaskel lahatir, until that which connects them starts to become undone, or you start to undo it, because then you're megaladas that you don't want that chibur anymore. Alma shalobishas malachanami chibur. So apparently, what emerges is even when you're not using it for its intended use to be that it's together for. Like let's say you're not doing the laundry right now, it's still considered a chibur until you do an action to disconnect them from each other. Uriminu, but I'll ask you a stira. Makal sha'asa yad lekardom. Let's say you have a piece of wood that you use as a handle for an axe. So chibur l'tumah b'shas melacha. B'shas melacha in shlo b'shas melacha lo.
it's only considered part of the axe because it used to come out and then they would just throw the wood away and use another piece of wood next time. The blade was the important part of the axe, the wood they could find anywhere. So it's only considered to be a chibur while the malacha is being done. But when the malacha is not being done, when you're not actually using it, so then it's not going to be a problem. This sheds light. You know, those Gemaras and Makas where people are chopping wood and all of a sudden the axe blade flies off the handle. What kind of axes were they? Well, these are the kinds of axes that they're using, that they just put the handle in, take it out. So it's no wonder that they were killing people left and right with axe blades flying off of handles. So Amar Lei, Hasam Shalom B'Shas Melacha Adam Asli L'Zar Kol Lebeinu. That was a joke. I don't think that they were killing people left and right. The Gemara talks obviously in cases, and then we derive principles from that. Just I don't want the emails later. So Amar Lei. So the Rabbi Zera said to Rabbi Yirmiya, Hasam Shalom B'Shas Melacha Adam Asli L'Zar Kol Lebeinu Eitzim. Over there, when it's not Shas Melacha, you discard the handle. You get rid of it. You just throw it together with all your other firewood. You'll find a different handle later. Hacha Shalom B'Shas Melacha Nami Nichalei. Dimetanfu Hader Mechaver Luhu. But over here, by the laundry thing, even Shalom B'Shas Melacha, it is helpful to have all your clothing together so that you don't lose. You don't have to go digging through your drawer for a sock. It's nice when they're all together so that you can have an easy pair to pair up. So that's why that's considered a chibur, even shalom b'shas melacha. B'sura, masnul lalahash maitim m'shmeid Rav Chisda. In Surah, they taught the following teaching that we haven't yet said, that we're about to say, in the name of Rav Chisda, but p'mdisa masnul m'shmeid Rav Kana. In p'mdisa, what we're about to say, they said in the name of Rav Kana. V'armila m'shmeid Rava, and some say in p'mdisa, they said in the name of Rava. Man tana ha milsa dam rabbanan, kolam chubur lo hareu kamahu. Who is the author of that which the Rabbanan say, that anything that's attached to something is considered part of something, as far as Tum is concerned? Meaning that if one part becomes Tameh, they both become Tameh because they're attached to each other. Some Rabbi Dom Rav, Rabbi Meir he. That must follow the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Ditnan, because there's a Mishnah in Kalim that reads as follows. Beis hapach, u beis hatavlin, u beis haner. You know how if you buy a big barbecue grill, a big grill for the outdoors, there are two ways that a grill can look fancy. It could either have like, it could either just be high quality, very good, or it could have like all these extra things on the side, right? So on their ovens, they also had that like a little holder for your barbecue sauce and a little holder for your so the pach is you had a pach shemen that would go on the side of the stove, and a place to keep all your spices, and a place to put your ner, because in case it got dark outside as you were grilling, so then you'd be able to use the ner, or you'd be able to find the oven more quickly. Shebakira, all these things are attachments onto the kira, so they're not actually part of the kira, but they're attached to. So metamin b'maga, they're metame b'maga, meaning if the kira itself becomes tameh from a sheretz touching the kira, these attachments also become tameh. But vein metamin ba'avir, if the kira becomes tameh just from its sheretz being in the airspace of the kira, because the kira is a kli cheres, then these attachments are not tameh. Divra meir. Rabbi Shimon metayr. Rabbi Shimon says, nah, these are not. They're not part of the oven. They're not part of the stove. And therefore, just because the stove becomes tameh, these attachments are going to be tahar. So bishlam the Rabbi Shimon kasar lav kikira damu. I understand Rabbi Shimon's position very clearly. He's saying that these are not part of the stove, and therefore they never become tamei just because the stove is tamei. But how do you explain Rabbi Meir? Why would it have a din as part of the kira when it comes to Tumas Maga, but not when it comes to Tumas Avir? So Liolam Lav Kikira Damu. Rav Meir must really hold that it's not really part of the Kira, but Rabbanan Udgazubuhu. The Rabbanan made a Gzeira that as far as Tumas Maga is concerned, at least, we're going to treat it as if it's part of the Kira. Well, Igazubu, Afilu Bavinami Latamu. Well, if you're going to make a Gzeira, go all the way. Why would you make a half a Gzeira? Say that no matter how the Kira becomes Tame, all these attachments will become Tame, Midir Rabbanan. So says Marna Avdu Bar Rabbanan Ake. The Rabbanan specifically wanted to make a heker so that you won't come to burn truma and kachim on account of the tuma that it generates, because this tuma is only a tuma midrabbanan, so it would be disastrous if you ended up burning truma and kachim truma and kachim as well. Tosus points out that by the shalosh al kovsim that we said the chum were machmir to consider a chibur l'tuma, why didn't they have a similar
a limitation? Why didn't they say, oh, when you have all your socks sewn together for the laundry, it's only going to be a chibra l'tumah for one type of tumah, not for another type of tumah, because the whole thing is only tumah midrabanan. So shouldn't they have made some sort of similar heker? So Tos says they didn't have to, because there's a heker already, because it's not a chibra l'hazaa. When it comes to sprinkling the mechatos, the paraduma ashes on it, so it's not considered a chibur. If the mechatos hits part of it, it's not considered to have hit all of it. So Tanu Rabbanan, masporah shel prakam, another type of kli, you have scissors, haircutting scissors, so that are made of two blades that you just attach together. V'izmal shel rehitni, or another type of a kli that has a metal blade and it goes over a flat surface to help flatten certain pieces of wood, so to smooth out certain pieces of wood. Chibur l'tuma ve'en chibur l'azah, the different parts of these kelim are considered attached to each other as far as tumah is concerned, but not as far as tara is concerned, not as far as being mazah the mechatos on it. So says Mar, why? Manavshach, I chibur hu afil l'azah nami, and I lav chibur hu afil l'tumah nami lo. If it's connected, let it be connected, and if it's not connected, then it shouldn't be considered connected for tumah either. Amar Rava, so Rav explains, Dvar Torah b'shas malacha chibur ben l'tumah ben l'azah. On a daraisa level, it's always considered connected, it's considered one kli. And we're just extra machmir. That's when it's b'shas malacha. V'shalo b'shas malacha, and when it's not b'shas malacha, einu chibur lo l'tuma v'lo laza. It's not considered a chibur at all. Ah, v'gazur rabbanan al tuma shalo b'shas malacha mishum tuma shabishas malacha, and al laza shabishas malacha mishum laza shalo b'shas malacha. So we just went l'chumra in both directions. So we said, because people are going to confuse b'shas malacha with shalo b'shas malacha, that we're just going to be totally machmir, that it's always going to be considered a chibur for tuma, and it's never going to be considered a chumah, a chibur, as far as tara is concerned. So at the bottom line, when all the dust settles, there are three categories of kelim that we've outlined over here. There are kelim that are all part, that the two parts are used to get in concert with each other and have the same function as each other. The two blades of a scissor, each blade is identical to the other. So that b'shas malacha is a chibur midaraisa, shalom b'shas malacha is not a chibur midaraisa, but the chamur goes there that it's a chibur l'tumah and not lahaza. Then you have a kalim that whose parts are attached to each other, but they don't do the same thing. The shalal shalkovsim, the beis hapach, the beis hashem and shabakira, right? The attachments onto the side of the grill. So according to our mayor, that's a chibur l'tumah midrabanan, even shalo b'shas malacha, as long as you're happy about it being attached to the stove. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not a chibur l'tumah at all. And then you had the axe handle. That's not a chibur at any time other than the shas malacha, because that's something that you discard as soon as the malacha is over. Okay, everyone have a great day. Thanks so much. And Bez Hashem will pick up from Bezman Shein Lachin tomorrow.
Good day to everybody.